Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Entering stage right is Healthy Gut Girl. Colon right. Entering from the right colon, stage right is Healthy Gut Girl. It's Catalina Martone, and I'm and this is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. And we were just talking about English people and tea and Shakespeare. That's why I was saying I was entering stage right, colon right. Anyway, hi Mark.
Colon right. Colon. Yeah, we were just talking about tea and theanine. And apparently theanine has a wonderful effect on the brain. It's
it improves concentration and relaxation.
I didn't know that. See? There is a lot of stuff that I don't know. You know, this is a very long-awaited for podcast because it's like a sequel to our progesterone therapy podcast that we've been avoiding for a while, and that a lot of people are like, Kitty, why don't you do it? Why haven't you done the progesterone therapy podcast? And here's why. Because the more research I do, the more complex this becomes. And I'm realizing that it's all really valuable information that I want to share, but I feel like I need to consolidate it and simplify it. And
which is what you do well. You do that best.
Thank you.
You take information, you consolidate it, and make it easily digestible for
wink,
people
wink.
To wink, wink.
For people to digest. Well, I appreciate that. And yes, I agree with you. I feel like that is what I do. I feel like I do that in my own brain. I take this stuff, very challenging information for my own brain, and I sift through it and I decipher it and I make it understandable to me. And then I share it with you. I don't change it. I just make it easy to palate. So here's what I've run into. I've run into gobs and gobs of really relevant information to everyone that I know. And just so you know, the estrogen dominance support group that I have on Facebook, which is where probably 70% of our listeners come from, maybe 60-70% come from there. The estrogen dominance support group has grown. It has 3,000 members now, and it's just a year old. And I just got 100 new members in a week, Mark. 100 new members. I know that's nothing compared to like Donna Gates and Body Ecology and Dave Asprey, but for us, that it's amazing, and I'm so grateful for every 100 one of those. And then you
said
we had record-breaking downloads on a few of our last podcasts, and so I'm starting to feel like so inspired by this, and I want my information to be even more precise and more and also because this information is changing so rapidly. It changes all the time. It really does. Like,
so you want to be on the cusp of all the new information.
Yeah.
And it ups the level of your game to be more concise, specific, and effective.
Helpful.
So you give good information.
So I'm literally sitting here on my sofa surrounded by notebooks. I have binders that are, you know, just like with nothing but information. And I've been listening to some of my mentors, some of my favorite people that I listen to get information from them and consulting with them. And the bottom line is what the conclusion I've come to, and Mark has helped me come to this conclusion, is that I can keep on doing these podcasts over and over and update them and, you know, on hormones, on progesterone. But I really think what I'm going to do is I want to create a little course, not some long, lengthy, really expensive thousands and thousands of dollars type of course, but just a, once again, concise, easy to understand, thorough, couple of hours webinar. Right, Mark?
Yes. Yes. You said couple of hours, and I go, are we doing it that long?
No, not this.
But yes.
Not this podcast. The webinar.
I know. I know the webinar. Yeah, we were talking about that during the week, and we're working out the details of that and creating it so, you know, we give you great information. And I'm looking forward to it as well, because I'll get to learn a lot of this stuff that, you know, I hear it secondhand, mainly. You know, you have the estrogen dominance group with I'm not on. I don't really go to it. I don't think it ever affects me. But the more I'm doing research on this end, I'm finding that there is a lot of evidence that shows that, you know, there's issues with men with low progesterone. Mm-hmm.
And just with the hormonal imbalance, period.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. You know, you asked me a question that really had me thinking once I brought up the webinar concept. I want to call it a workshop. And you said, well, why? What do you want to give people that you aren't giving them already through answering questions on Facebook and through your podcasts and through your client, you know, sessions? And that is, I want people to be able to take this little workshop we're going to do and download the information, go through it with me. I'm going to go through it with them. We're going to have a Q&A at the end, and then print it up and have a little booklet that you can literally reference whenever you are confused or have a question. Something super simple where you can just flip to it and say, oh, let me see. I have the MTHFR. How is that related to progesterone therapy? Oh, I have a child that has, you know, behavioral disorders. I wonder what I could do. Just all this information, because I cannot fit this into one podcast. It's impossible.
And you also said you can't answer all the questions at the same time. You're not on it 24/7. And sometimes people are going back and forth, and you need to mediate against certain misinformation that happens when in your absence.
Constantly.
Right. So this is... this is an answer to some of the issues that have been coming up with the
right group. So that's I started the progesterone or the estrogen dominant support group because I was on the body ecology support group, body ecology diet support group with Angela Shelley, and I was monopolizing her podcast, her support group talking about hormones. So I started just an offshoot, estrogen dominant support group, and it took off. I wasn't expecting it to be this. So now I'm finding in all my free time, and I mean all my free time, like sitting, you know, in bed, before bed, like, you know, in the bathtub, I'm answering questions, you know, waiting for food at a restaurant, I'm answering questions. And I love it, but it's also, like you said, there's a lot of repetition, there's a lot of putting out fires of misinformation, and it's normal, a lot of repetition, no matter what. And that's okay.
So we have to be a little not judgmental when we see you crossing the street with your cell phone and you're texting. You're really answering an important question. Sharing someone your meal for the day.
No. I mean, I don't even talk on the phone with my friends, as you know. When you call me, do I ever answer the phone? I don't. Very rarely. I just don't. My free time is if I'm not watching TV.
Yeah, that is – I have to tell you how annoying that is. I'll text you – you'll text me one moment, and I'll try to call you, and you don't pick up. And I'm thinking, what the hell is this girl doing? She just texted me, but she won't pick up the freaking phone.
I just don't like being on the phone, but because I feel like I could be doing other things. Yeah, I could be answering questions. I could be asking questions. I could be reading something. I could be researching something. I could be watching Game of Thrones. I could be kissing my husband. I could be doing a lot of things.
Well, stuff your doctor should know is also having a healthy life and interacting with people. That has been shown to be very, very healthy and leads to a longer life.
I know. I've gotten much worse at social interaction. That's terrible. I have. I don't do that much. I'm not that social. I don't leave my house that much anymore. I really honestly don't.
You know, you're going to have a thousand fans starting to text you going, hey, let's get some lunch. Can I take you out? You want to go for a hike?
I won't answer.
Can you look at my dog? Want to go do coffee enemas together?
So let's get down to it. I do still want to talk a little bit about some things that are relevant about hormones, and I want to call this particular podcast Hormone Shitstorm. So write that down for me.
I don't need to write that down. Okay. That's unforgettable.
I know a lot of my listeners don't like to curse, but I think we can all relate to this hormone shitstorm. So
I won't spell it out. I'll just do all the cursives, all the little. Yeah. Okay, so this is why you dragged me into doing podcast number three mm-hmm. on progesterone.
Yeah,
right?
So you know what? You know where I'm going to start? I'm going to start here. I was promoting a particular product for those other two podcasts and on Estrogen Dominant Support Group and with my clients, hundreds of clients of my hundreds of clients, the ones that are using this particular product, I got really frustrated with that product because the product was so unavailable and always out of stock. It was NatPro. And it was just it was out of stock more than it was in stock. And this is a huge problem for people who are relying on it to help balance their hormones, because the progesterone leaves the body within 12 hours. In most people, it gets worked through the steroidal pathways of the hormones and it is gone. And so once it's gone, you don't have it anymore. And adverse symptoms can begin to start to pop up again. So I was very frustrated with the product and decided that I needed to start looking for another option. I even looked into making my own. As you recall, Mark, I looked into it very seriously, working with Dr. Marshall to produce my own and so on and so forth. And I just didn't have the capital to do it, is the fact about that. I didn't have the effort and the time either. I don't have the time to, you know, to take care of that. So, because I'm only one person. So, on Estrogen Dominant Support Group, someone introduced me to Ona, Ona's Naturals. Ona Green is the owner of Ona, O-N-A, Ona's Naturals. And I sampled a couple of her products, she's got a few different types of progesterone cream, a few different strengths, and I fell in love with one of them. And that became the new one. And people were asking me why, and it just became this issue of I need to do another podcast so that I can actually tell people why. So I first want to say, no, I am not the practitioner who says progesterone is the answer to all your woes. Contrary to popular belief, I am not the person who thinks that progesterone can fix everything and that everyone should be on progesterone and that if you have hormonal issues, you have to be on progesterone. And I'm also not the mega dosing practitioner. Yes, I myself cured and healed myself of my own hormonal imbalances with very high doses of progesterone. Do I think everyone needs to do that? No, I do not. I don't think it's necessarily a one-size-fits-all for everyone. So let's get that out of the way right away. So I switched to Ona's and had remarkable results, super happy with it, and now I promote it. You can check out on healthygutgirl.com on the products page. Scroll down and you'll see a banner for Ona's, or you can just go Google Ona's Naturals. It comes in a pump. It comes in a little tub that you can open, and there's various strengths. You need to decide what works for you. And
Before you go on, then, because I was looking at it myself the other day, and there are a few different options with strength. And how would you know which one to get? Mm-hmm. Which strength? I mean, obviously, you'd go. I would think get the strongest one, but you don't know.
Right.
How do you? Where do you recommend to start?
Well,
and what are you looking for in terms of when it's time to move up to a higher strength?
Right. Well, there's a lot of books from there's like Dr. Lee's book. There's a lot of professionals who have written books and a lot of experts who have talked about high doses and low doses of progesterone and a lot of misinformation, a lot of information that has changed. And what I've come to realize in my practice is everyone is different. You cannot paint a broad stroke across all women and all men and all children and all everybody and say the 3% is for you and the 10% is for you and everyone needs to do this. You can't do it. It is impossible because you...
So is this where a hormonal panel would come into play to kind of read where your levels are to determine...
I come from the perspective that all information that you can gather about your physical self that you can afford to get your hands on within reason is helpful. So yes, I think a Dutch test, which is I have a member and a friend and a client, or not a client, a member, a friend, and a colleague, I would call her, Maria Claps, who's on the estrogen dominant support group. She's running a beautiful program that teaches people about hormones that includes the Dutch test. Right now, it's the gold standard. It is the test. It's a dried urine test that tests your hormones. It's a very thorough test, right? So that is what I would recommend. But a lot of people, and I would say these days most people, can't afford these expensive tests. You know, these hormonal tests are expensive. Even just getting your insurance to cover a regular blood lab, which is only part of the picture. A blood lab is only one picture of one day of your life. When you want to see the entire picture of your hormones, you need a good several days of testing to be done, urine preferably. Saliva can be useful, but urine is best. And most doctors won't do this. So so there's that. But yes, I think if you can get some hormone labs done, even blood labs, then by all means, get them done, check it out, see where your levels are, and make some decisions from there.
So would you suggest then starting with the less strength progesterone cream?
Yes, that's what I would recommend for almost everyone. So here's what I've learned. I've learned that older women, and that in the world of hormones, that means 35 and over, older women tend to need less stimulation when it comes to hormone application or hormone supplementation. They need lesser doses. Because, and this came from an acupuncturist, I might have mentioned this already, it came from an acupuncturist who was working with one of the top fertility doctors in the world. And he said that where most fertility specialists go wrong with infertile women and IVF, in vitro fertilization, where they go wrong is too much stimulation too quickly. So they're giving these big guns of hormones to these women who are older, whose bodies are not entirely, whose bodies are no longer equipped to deal with that kind of stimulation. Okay, I'm trying to simplify this information because it is super complex, like really complicated. So that's the simplified version, right? That's what my brain can digest really well, which is high doses. It's kind of like the birth control pill back in the day. Back when our mothers were on the birth control pill, they had one kind of birth control pill for all women. Bang, huge, killing ants with hammers, massive doses, unnecessary. And it would make women very, very sick. And some women would do fine on it. It just depends on each individual woman. But it would seem that, according to this man, when you stimulate the body with supplemental hormones, whether they be synthetic or natural, the lower doses, the lower strengths, not doses, lower strengths for older women tend to be better. But that's not always the case, okay? So same with men. I would say with men, same thing. Well, the younger the man, the higher the strength he can handle. The older the man, the lower the strength. Same thing with children. Children can handle higher strength progesterone. Yeah, so did I
That gives me a baseline to begin with. Yeah, to start.
So with Ona's, she has so listen to how amazing this woman is. So she's like my favorite person in the world. She's like, so
Have you talked to her? Have you had an actual conversation with this person?
Yeah. And she has completely impressed me with her business model, with her customer service, with her perspective on everything. She's a sweetheart. And all she wants to do is she wants to make the customer happy. She wants to give people what they need. She's open to suggestion from everything from shipping and packing materials to ingredients and, you know, the containers and the way they're made. And she's open to every suggestion. It's incredible. She has,
and they're not made by soy? From soy?
Well, okay, so that you just like popped open a can of worms right there.
Did I just do that? Okay. I'm sorry, because I'm reading, I'm trying, my mistake.
So it can be, progesterone creams can be synthesized from soy. It's fine. Because it requires certain plants like yucca, soy, wild yam, the progesterone can be synthesized out of that plant and converted in a lab into the progesterone necessary to be cell resonant to ours, to human progesterone. And so it doesn't matter if it's soy, it doesn't matter if it's wild yam, it just has to say USP progesterone on the label. It just has to say that. It can't be an extract. It cannot be like an extract of wild yam, or it has to be actually progesterone.
So if someone comes to you, I'm sure this would raise a question on your group. If someone says, I have a soy allergy, would this be something that I'd have problems taking?
No, because it is actually removed. The soy is complete. The progesterone is completely removed from the product, from the actual source, from the mother.
Okay.
So no. So it's fine. So people say, wait, I can't take soy. It's a phytogenic estrogen. It's going to make things worse. No, there is no soy in it. So you're fine where that's concerned. So backing up just a hair, Ona actually has a epileptic seizures. She has seizure disorder, epilepsy. And I don't know all the great details of that, but I know that she basically has completely controlled her seizures through using progesterone, because she had probably heard of the studies that were done on people that that had seizures and how progesterone actually can control them, reduce them, and in some cases completely eliminate them. So that's how she became a fan of progesterone and decided to make her own cream and realize all the hormonal benefits, not just for men, not just for women, but for men and for children. So that's why she's so passionate about it. And so when I first took her 10% cream, I was really excited because NatPro is a 3%. And that's a lot of cream when you're on upwards of 400 milligrams a day. You're using, you know, half a bottle of cream a day practically. It's a lot. So I was super excited to find out that there was a 10% that was almost the same price. Like, insane. Like, she manages to keep her prices so affordable. So I started using it, and I didn't actually notice. I actually did not have a good experience. I don't want to say it caused anything bad. I just, because it wasn't the cream. It was as if I wasn't taking anything. So adverse symptoms that I used to have started to peak up. Like, I was having some PMS. I was having some spotting in between periods. I was having heavier bleeding than I would have liked. And I said, wait a minute, this is strange. This is weird. And I also noticed, because I'm super sensitive to this stuff, when I applied it, I actually didn't feel what I would feel with the NatPro. So I got a little nervous thinking that NatPro was magical. And I said, you know what? I'm going to tell her. I'm just going to tell her. So I told Ona, and she created a NatPro-like version of Ona's, because she knew, not for me, but because she knew that so many of my clients and people that I reach through the estrogen dominant support group have great success with it. And she probably looked into the research that I had was exposed to about women, older women, and, you know, especially women that have been on the birth control pill for years and years and years. They also tend to have a different absorption rate of stronger creams. So she actually made a recipe for me.
That's extraordinary. That's great.
So she made a pro cream 30 and a pro cream 100, which are a 3% and a 10% that are the similar ingredients to NatPro. And so lo and behold, I get the 3%, the pro cream 30. The second that I had that bottle in my hand, I know people think I'm wackadoo, but I actually felt, I could feel that it was resonant with me. And I, so I applied it. It was instant. It was instant, instant, instant. I didn't realize that I was not feeling so good until I had put the cream on and I was like, holy moly, that's amazing. So of course I'm a huge fan. So I think it's the fourth.
I could just see that commercial now. You just put the cream on and you're smiling. Progesterone.
You know, she actually...
the lady.
She actually offered to private label, you know, the ProCream 30 if I wanted to do it. And I was thinking about it. You know, I was like, well, yeah. Yeah, you know, what, we could call it Kitty Cream or I don't know, something. But then that kind of sounds like it's for other purposes. But like for your kitty. Like maybe your kitty needs the progesterone cream, which, by the way, let me segue from that point to to pets, to using progesterone for your pets. For those of you who have never heard me talk about this, that I cured my dog of incontinence using progesterone, because it is required. Progesterone is one of the hormones, I should say, progesterone and estrogen, a balance of the two, are required for the urinary sphincter to function properly. I believe I'm saying that correctly.
Is that in humans or
animals? In humans and animals. Well, I don't know animals, but in dogs and in humans. So when women have children, they think that and they get incontinence afterwards that doesn't remedy, like if they have it forever after they've had a child. It's one thing to have it a few months or even a year or so, but if you have it for years after you've had children, there's actually, it's a hormonal imbalance. It's something that's taken place. So, you know, adding progesterone can balance that out and correct that. Or older women who tend to head into menopause or perimenopause and after, and they get this incontinence issue where they literally have to wear, you know, like a pads or diapers to keep from wetting themselves. Progesterone is phenomenal for this. And literally, since I had my dog fixed when she was 4 months old, she would wet, or she would always leak. And it, I mean, I had her for 12 years, and I started her on the progesterone, and it completely, it got much worse for a week, and then it went away, and she has had it.
Where would you rub the cream?
On her belly. On her belly. Yeah.
And just a little bit of a handful every day, a tablespoon.
No, they barely need any. I would give her like a pea size or a dime size, and that's it. And I would do it once a day for her. I did it for maybe 10 days, and it was gone. I've never.
I think it was probably just more that you were rubbing her belly, and she healed herself.
Maybe after 12 years, I'd never rubbed her belly, at least not like that. Anyway, so
Okay.
So that's how wonderful Ona is. She's miraculous. She's a wonderful human, and she goes out of her way to make things right and make things likable and wonderful for people. So that's why I've become such a huge promoter of that product. Anyway, so moving on to the all of the different questions people sent me in regards to what they wanted to talk about with progesterone therapy. And I realized that I couldn't really talk about progesterone therapy without talking about the hormones in general and all of the different symptoms that show up with people and why. And a lot of people that belong to estrogen dominant support group don't realize that before that group, I am healthy gut girl. That's my brand. That's who I am. I healed and helped myself heal through many of my ailments because of all of the gut work that I have done and the mineralization. I'm all about minerals, balancing your minerals, healing the gut, de-stressing, detoxifying the body. That's always been my story, always, from the beginning of time, which is why I've had, you know, the brand, Healthy Gut Girl. Well, when I wasn't fully healed, when I still, after all the work I had done, was still suffering from hormonal imbalance, that is when I found progesterone therapy. So people that don't know me need to understand that. I'm not this person that came along and said, oh, just, you know, heal everything with progesterone. That's not the case. I know I've said that already, but just want to clarify that. Any questions, Marcus Leboticus?
Yeah, well, I want to bring up, and I probably asked you this in our previous podcast, Progesterone for men. How does this apply to men? Now, I mean, I'm looking at some stuff I'm looking up online right now, and it's pretty significant that there are issues that men have that progesterone can help. And from one I'm looking at is hair loss. Mm. It's saying that there is, it does exactly what some of the medications do out there without the medication,
right.
Just with the cream.
So actually that's a great, including low T, erectile dysfunction, not to be mistaken for the other ED, which is estrogen dominance.
Said even depression for men.
Depression, premature ejaculation, belly fat, prostate issues.
Belly fat, right.
Prostate issues, muscle atrophy. Okay, so why? Why is that? Why is that even? Why is that? How is it possible? You know, you go to your. Did I just say possible? If you go to your regular doctor, they're not going to think of you and progesterone. They think of pregnant women and progesterone. They think it's a pregnancy hormone. Well, let me just say, hormones are like the orchestra of the body, right? They create. And modulate.
You mean the conductor of the body?
No, because the glands are the conductors. The glands, the parathyroid is the conductor of bone loss, and the pancreas is the conductor of insulin, and the ovaries are the conductor of progesterone, and the breasts are conductor of estrogen, and so. You know, all the different glands in the endocrine system, those are the conductors, I would say. I mean, there are definitely triggers and there are definitely songwriters. Okay, let's get really esoteric. There are songwriters. There are things that affect. There are things, external things that affect our glands, and there are internal things that affect our glands, but ultimately the hormones that get secreted from these glands are like the mm-hmm. music in our bodies. They're like the orchestra. Mm-hmm. It's this beautiful mechanism that we have, and it's all part of the same mechanism. The endocrine system is one mechanism in the body, the same way the nervous system is one mechanism. The gut is one mechanism. Like the enteric nervous system is one mechanism. So the endocrine system is its own, but it governs all kinds of functions and governs how we break down our food. It governs how we utilize.
So using that metaphor of it being a symphony, if some of the hormones are out of balance, then the symphony isn't playing a tune that's out of tune, right?
Right, it's playing something that doesn't sound right, that sounds out of balance,
right.
It sounds out of tune, exactly. And, it's not enough to just, okay, let's work with the violinist. Well, how about we work with the whole string section? Or how about we work with it's like everything has...
Well, let's talk to the conductor, who's the gland, right? And kind of go from there.
Right. So that's a good...
If I got this metaphor
correctly. I like where you're going. I hadn't really thought about this metaphor that deeply, but I'm liking this. Because who is... So if there's all these mini conductors, who is the main conductor? I would say, just off the top of my head, I would say the thyroid. The thyroid is in control of everything in the body. It is.
And where are the thyroid? Where are they located?
The thyroid glands are located on the middle of the neck.
Right.
And the thyroid point, one of the thyroid points in traditional Chinese medicine and in quantum reflex medicine, is right in the sternal notch of the neck. That little, you can stick your and make yourself like, yeah, that. That's the part. So the thyroid is in charge of all these different functions. It's very much in charge of your parasympathetic nervous system in terms of keeping you calm. You know what the thyroid does? It produces calm energy. And the adrenals are like the treble. They're in charge of the hyper energy, of the fast kinetic energy. So the thyroid, so having said that, and this is what I want to put in the workshop, in our little webinar we're going to do. So from a very, very, very early age, some research is even showing in utero, a baby's thyroid can actually be affected by the mother's level of depression, level of hyperactivity, level of stimuli, level of anxiety. That thyroid and those adrenals can be affected, and the research is very compelling that the baby's actually born, can be born depressed, can be born, sorry about the noise here, can be born depressed, can be born anxious. You know, some babies, like my, oh my goodness, my girlfriend just had her baby, and it's glorious. It's just the best story, best outcome, wonderful organic baby, I call it. This baby, you can hold this newborn baby in your hands, and she's got a house full of people visiting, music going, someone comes in, the wind slams the door shut, and the baby doesn't even flinch. The baby lays there in silence, just quietly sleeping, soundly, comfortable.
In the state of Satori.
Yes. And so you take some babies, and you have to tiptoe around that baby. And because anything wakes that baby, and you clap your hands or the wind blows the door shut, and that baby is crying through the roof, red in the face, terrified. Why? This is why, because that thyroid and those adrenals are talking to each other to modulate that baby's calmness and excitability, right? Modulating calm, excitement. So this is where these hormone issues begin. They begin from in utero. They begin from conception. Beginning of time for you, the beginning of your existence as a human fetus, this stuff begins. People say to me all the time, you know, I've been working on my gut for 2 years. I've been doing a paleo diet and a ketogenic diet, and I've been on these herbs, and I've been doing this and this for this long, and I'm still not better. And I just want to show them the picture of how long their endocrine system, their orchestra, has been out of tune. It's been a long time. For some of us, more than others. But it's been a long time. We cannot expect our bodies. And then it's not like...
to shift in a short period of time. It's going to be like a tanker in the sea. It's just going to be a long time.
Long, slow, and steady wins the race. Now, right. If you have the luxury of doing 7 years in Tibet, maybe it'll happen much quicker if you can go and climb the top of a mountain and meditate and eat pure food and not expose yourself to the woes of the world. It'll probably happen much quicker. But if you live in a big city, if you are exposed to high levels of stress and pollution, let me tell you something. Just the levels of pollution alone in our lives today are enough to offset your endocrine system on a daily basis.
Well, you were telling me that that was a big... It is one of the biggest causes of being an endocrine disruptor.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Top of the list of xenoestrogens, the pollution that comes from everything from the ports where you live, you know, the ports of Los Angeles and San Pedro, to the ports of Long Island, the, you know, factories, refineries.
Well, you live right next to an airport. You said you would get the waft of the exhaust
every day when the offshore comes onshore. You could smell the exhaust come right into your home, and that alone is going to make all the herbs you're taking, all the progesterone you're taking, it is going to challenge that. It's going to use it. You're going to lose it. I hate...
That's the toxic load.
Toxic, thank you. Took the words right out of my brain. That's exactly what happens. And that's a challenge. And when we talk about that, it's daunting. It's like, well, what are we supposed to do? Move to Tibet? Well, yeah, but no.
Well, so now let's move on to going further then with this. So where are we going with progesterone? How is this all going to play?
We just worked ourselves into a hole. Nothing you can do, friends. That's it. It's a bleak story.
So how are we come back to the symphony, and what is progesterone, or how is it going to help alleviate, modulate, attenuate some of these issues you just mentioned? Or will it?
Yes. So, okay. So having just said what I said with all these different, okay, so let's talk about a few of the other things that steal progesterone, that steal your minerals, because that's what really this is, what this is all about. You know, you shouldn't have to take progesterone. Progesterone, in a sense, isn't really natural. Yes, it's from plants. Yes, it's as healthy and natural as it can get coming as far as a hormone goes. But it is not really natural. We shouldn't have to take a hormone. We shouldn't have to take melatonin. But because of all these things, these xenoestrogens, these endocrine disruptors, stress, infection, these things, stress is actually surpasses the pollution and the xenoestrogens. It's actually at the top of the list because it's the one that steals your cortisol and steals, it literally steals it. So stress needs to be modulated. It needs to be handled. It needs to be mitigated. It needs to not be gotten rid of because that's impossible, but it needs to be dealt with. Stress resilience, that's something we all need to learn to do. And that should be at the top of your list. Maybe that sounds esoteric to you, and if it does, then you need to focus on making it not esoteric for yourself.
That's your yoga practice. That's your meditation.
Prayer.
That's your sitting alone in the car. Prayer.
Yes, right. You have to turn off the fight or flight. You have to, or you will continually steal the progesterone will continually be turned into cortisol.
And for some people who have a problem with sleeping, this could be a big issue because that's when your body really needs to relax. And if you're waking up and not sleeping well, you're not getting to that state of relaxation.
Right. And this is part of that symphony again because, you know, melatonin is produced in the pineal gland, which is part of the orchestra. And if that is upset, if the endocrine system is upset, it's going to affect your pineal gland. So this is all why this is so complex and why we're going to do a webinar, because there are multifaceted levels. This is multifaceted approach, and I'm going to simplify it and make it really easy to understand so it's not overwhelming.
So make this understandable, because I'm just curious. So when you say endocrine disruptor, that means the endocrine system is not producing, it's disrupted, it's not, the output of hormone has been restricted. Is that exactly what that means?
Yeah, so you've now disrupted the function of one or multiple glands in the body from doing their job, their daily, hourly, minutely job of modulating
right.
all of the hormones in the body. And things at the top of the list of the pollution xenoestrogens are glyphosate, you know, the pesticides that are in everything now. And it's very hard to avoid a lot of this stuff. So taking...
Yeah, tell that to the bees.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring that up.
I know. So progesterone can help. So here's what I say to everyone. I feel like if you have focused and honed in on your diet, what that means to you, whether it's paleo or ketogenic or, you know, vegan or just an omnivore, but you're just really watching your sugar, whatever diet you have come to work with, which you have to find one for you that works for you and your gut and your digestion and your caloric needs. Your minerals, so you have to be supplementing and making sure that within that diet you're getting adequate amounts of minerals. I'm a huge fan of supplementing. I just started taking Dr. Morley Robbins' suggestion, who he's going to be a guest soon on our podcast. He's incredible. I love him. He turned me on to a magnesium complex that includes B6, which is a cofactor of magnesium to help absorption. B6, as you've all heard me talk about, we talked about in the last FDA podcast, very hard to come by these days. It is a cofactor of magnesium, and if you were ever on the birth control pill or you suffer from PTSD or any emotional trauma, you need lots of B6, and you can find that in this particular product called Jigsaw. I only just started taking it, so I'm not going to make a huge endorsement for it because, A, it's got some excipients in it that I'm not happy about, but I like it so far. So sometimes we have to make some sacrifices. But So minerals, supplementing minerals. I also like ancient earth minerals by Body Ecology. That you can find on my products page on healthygutgirl.com. Ancient earth minerals, fantastic multi-spectrum mineral supplement, easy to absorb. That has to be worked on, and minerals can take years to balance. So we have to consistently, diligently be working on mineral balance, okay? And then detoxification. You have to work on that lemon water, if that's as gentle a detox as you can handle. Infrared sauna, coffee enemas, saltwater enemas, probiotic enemas, lots of hydration, infrared sauna, I said, all these different forms of detoxification that are excellent for us. So when you're working on that stuff and then you incorporate progesterone, all of a sudden it isn't just like throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks. You're actually doing something about the xenoestrogens in your environment. You're doing something about the stress in your environment. Your diet is now supporting a healthy life and a thriving endocrine system. Your detoxification is eliminating some of the toxic burden on your body, and you're able to add the progesterone, and it starts to become supportive to the endocrine system. It starts to donate where it's needed. It starts to bring balance. So with men, it starts to elevate testosterone. In women, it starts to lower testosterone. It depends on what it is you need. That's how smart progesterone is. That's how smart the endocrine system is. It will take it where it needs it. If your stress is through the roof and your demand for cortisol is high, it will steal your cortisol. So why would you take progesterone if your stress is through the roof? That's not wise, is it? We need to work on reducing our stress levels. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it's so important, because a lot of comments people get on the estrogen dominance support group is, I'm having these adverse reactions. It wakes me up in the middle of the night. I'm anxiety ridden and panic attacks, and my hair is falling out. And that's because a lot of the additional work isn't being done. So I just said a mouthful, but progesterone is a component to help you with everything else you're doing. There's herbs you can be taking to support adrenal health. There's ashwagandha and ginseng. There are many herbs that help to support adrenal function and lowering your cortisol that can also be beneficial. So there's all this stuff we can be doing, and you have to do the homework. If you're drinking coffee every day, I'm sorry, Dave Asprey. I'm sorry to butt heads with you on this, but you are going to have issues with your endocrine system. It is a drug. Caffeine is a drug. Yes, it has benefits. But when you have a hormonal imbalance, it plays into your hormonal imbalance. You are artificially stimulating your adrenal glands to make adrenaline and cortisol, which is a stress hormone. So we have to do the homework, or else it is like throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks. Hello? I'm listening.
I have really nothing to contribute here, because this is, it's intriguing information. Yeah.
I know.
I'm wondering, do you get a lot of questions, or do you get any questions from males on your
form? I have a handful of clients from, I mean, I have a lot of clients that are males, but I have a handful from the estrogen dominance support group. And guess what? Most of my male clients on the ED group are actually physicians. So I have chiropractors, I have an OBGYN, I have a general practitioner. So yeah, I do. I have some females.
Would you
as
be
well.
Able to share any kind of anything that comes to the top of your head regarding specific questions that were asked that you might be able to answer here?
A really, really common one is, can progesterone elevate low T? Can it help build testosterone? And I'll say the same thing I say to women in regards to, can it help me build my progesterone, or can it help me lower my testosterone? It can. It is a great arbiter. Is that a good word? It's like a balancer.
Sure. Mediator.
It's a mediator. It's a modulator. It balances. It brings balance. Only if you are doing all the work necessary in every regard. because you can take it and it can do nothing. People will take it and feel nothing. Or they can take it, and men like my husband, who took it for a while, started feeling, hot flashes even, and a little emotional and moody, because they're the same. Men are the same as women in many, many ways. And our emotions are created by, our estrogen. I mean, by our emotions are created by our hormones. So, yes, this can affect our hormones. Mm-hmm. And we'll go through the same type of detoxification effect. When men start taking progesterone, they also can start to feel the balancing effects in negative and positive ways. So that's the problem with now you've brought up a whole nother. I had to plug in my computer in case I started to sound distracted there for a minute. I was just
wondering what you were doing.
I was
doing.
Going around in circles.
They can't see this, but I'm watching you on Skype, and I'm watching you walk around the apartment while you're talking. And nicely done. You kept your train of thought.
Sort of. I sort of did. I think anyone who's taking notes is like, what the heck did she just say? Okay, so this brings me to the actual application of progesterone, since we're coming up on an hour here. So there are two, and this goes for men, okay? I'm also going to talk about children. So there are two ways to take progesterone. There is a therapeutic way, and there is a maintenance way. A maintenance way is the way most women, most people are recommended to take it. Most doctors, most OBGYNs, most endocrinologists, they'll give you a maintenance dose, which is usually between 25 milligrams and 75 milligrams. Sometimes it's pill, sometimes it's suppository, pastillary. There's all kinds of different ways to take it, but they usually will get between 25 and 75 milligrams. That's about the average. And they'll say, take it during your luteal phase. Luteal means from the day you ovulate to the day you bleed. So a therapeutic dosage is when women have so much suffering from estrogen dominance issues. Now, estrogen dominance doesn't always mean you have too much estrogen. It just means that it's dominating at the wrong time during your cycle. So you can actually have really low estrogen. You don't even have to have a uterus. You can have really low estrogen, but you can still be estrogen dominant because it dominates the progesterone at the wrong time. The progesterone is in charge of your luteal phase. The estrogen is in charge of your follicular phase. So in a therapeutic fashion or method of taking progesterone, you would start at 75 milligrams or so with the average female, adult female. You would start with about 75 milligrams. You would take it all month long for 3 months. Every time an adverse reaction shows up, you raise your dose about 25 milligrams. That's every time. Once you go up that 25 milligrams, you don't come back down. You stay up at that level. Going up and going down and coming off and going back on is going to give you those results. You're going to feel good, you're going to feel bad, you're going to feel good, you're going to feel bad. You want to stay on it so that the progesterone has a chance, and I call it, this is my word, saturation. It has a chance to overtake the estrogen. The progesterone will never dominate when it's not supposed to. That's not how progesterone works. It's too busy donating to all kinds of other hormones. It's got other jobs to do. So if you have a saturation point, if you have a reserve, it'll always oppose the estrogen when it needs to. Eventually, after those 3 months, you'll start to see phases of, some women will see a point where they feel amazing. When you know that you're headed in the right direction, is you'll see periods of time where you go symptom free. You'll say, oh my God, my periods are not as bad and my headaches are gone, but I still have my hair falling out and I still gain 5 pounds. We want to keep our eye on the fact that some things are getting better, and we want to keep heading down that path. If you're on for 3 months and you've gained 15, 20 pounds, it's probably time to get off of it or go back to very low doses and start working on those basics again. diet, detox, minerals. So if you see that you're heading in the right direction, you continue to raise the dose when you need to. Most women won't go over 400 milligrams, and they'll stay on it all month long. I stayed on. It's going to be different for everyone. We can't paint a broad stroke. I was on it for a whole year almost at 800 milligrams. That's really, really high. And then there's women who are on at 3,000 milligrams. Okay, so it just, everybody's different. And if you're at 3,000 milligrams, I highly recommend that you're under the care of a physician or an expert. So when it comes to men, men don't need that kind of stimulation. They just need smaller doses. So with men, I would say 25 milligrams of a 3% cream, a lower dose cream, a lower strength cream, and you take that for all month long. You take it for a whole month. And you never raise it.
Once a day
once
application.
Once a day application. This goes for, with women, when you're up at those higher doses, you want to try to apply throughout the day, because every 12 hours you start to use up all that progesterone. So you don't want to go without. So you want like a time release where you're kind of adding it throughout the day. With men, I would say put it on at night. If you feel like it wakes you up in the middle of the night, or you start having a disturbed sleep, put it on in the morning, because something's up with your cortisol then. Put it on in the morning. And then if certain symptoms start to show up, like you feel moody, you feel depressed, you feel hot, you know, hot flashes, sweaty, all kinds of whatever existing symptoms worsen, that is a sign that you are starting to look for balance. The body is excreting excess estrogens and excess xenoestrogens. Remember, the ones that show up from pollution and pesticides and all this garbage, that stuff gets stored in our fat cells. So if you get hot flashes, if you get restless leg syndrome, if you get itchy legs when you're asleep at night, if you get, you know, these kinds of skin-related things, rashes and these kinds of things, and while you're doing progesterone, this is those xenoestrogens getting, those receptors getting stimulated, and this garbage is getting pushed out of the body. So I say, my personal research has shown that you push forward. You continue to get that progesterone dominating. So you pass through it, you raise your dose a little bit, maybe you go up another 25 milligrams. What men can do with 3% is measure it through visual. So use like a pea size and then go up another pea size and keep doing kind of pea sizes till it graduates to like a tablespoon, you know, that type of thing. Because they're using such small amounts. And then right, so that's how it is with men. Now, men shouldn't have to be on for more than a month. If you're on for a month and you're getting worse, or you're noticing things that you didn't like maybe your hair's falling out, or which I haven't heard with men, by the way, or you're gaining weight or something is happening like that, muscle atrophy, whatever, then you need to get off it, and then something's going overlooked. Something is not being addressed with diet, with infection, with your exposure to xenoestrogens, right? We need to go back to basics. So with children, okay, with infants. Now, this isn't my idea, everyone. So
when would an infant actually need progesterone?
Right, so this is going to
be... Why would that be necessary?
So look, we're already coming up on an hour, and I haven't eaten...
Yes.
And I'm not saying we're going to stop. We can probably do this particular podcast for 2 hours, because everyone that's been waiting for me...
No, we're not doing 2 hours. I'm your producer.
The look on your
face. We're keeping
it
down.
This was a request, Mark. this particular podcast was a request. So I'm not even.
Then don't touch on the children thing.
Give me
the cliff notes.
I'm going to give you the cliff notes. But what I'm going to say is that when people in the workshop, we're going to go through why children are born estrogen dominant. How hormone imbalance starts, and I mentioned it briefly before about in utero, how hormone imbalance begins, where it begins and why it begins, and what we can do about it. So babies are born, and we talked about this in our last few podcasts. Some babies have baby menses, so little baby girls can have a baby period. Baby lactation, even in boys, they can lactate from their nipples.
Oh, right. Okay, it's coming
cradle,
back. We did talk
right,
about
cradle
this in previous
cap,
podcasts.
Cradle
yes.
cap, colic, all sorts of issues that come up. I can't, off the top of my head, can't think of other ones. But restless sleeping, you know, all this type of thing. And so with babies, now remember, this isn't my idea. I didn't come up with this. I don't even have a baby, so I couldn't do this myself. This is research. This is stuff that people have done. These are people have used progesterone on infants for years. I would suggest that you begin literally with a dot I would say that looks like the size of a toothpick, like a dot. Use that on the baby's that sternal notch we were talking about before, right there by the bottom of the neck in the front where the breastbone starts, right there. That's fine, just right there. Keep an eye on it. If you see redness, if you see rash, keep an eye on the baby. One little dot, and that's it. And then you can increase from there. You increase daily with another dot. I wouldn't go over a Q-tip size, which would be like a pea size. I wouldn't go over a pea size. So that's probably like, of a 3% cream, that's probably like 5 milligrams. It's a very minute amount, and that's really good. Now, let's keep in mind, the only research I've ever found and that I've ever been able to access from all my mentors and people that I know, experts, say that excess progesterone in the body is excreted safely at the kidneys. Okay, it does not collect in the liver the way that estrogen does. It does not collect in fat cells the way that Dr. Mercola wrote about in an article or the way that in the articles he's posted. This is misinformation. The body does not hold progesterone like that. So anyway, so you would go up. I wouldn't use the progesterone for any longer than are you typing?
To you.
Oh. I wouldn't there's plenty, trust me. There's plenty more for
okay.
Dinner. But I wouldn't go over a pea size, and I wouldn't do it for longer than 10 days with a brand new baby, with an infant. I wouldn't.
You'd wait a little while. Wait till the baby matures a bit.
Just watch the baby. If you don't see any signs of it helping, I wouldn't continue it. If you see signs of it helping, then obviously continue it. With children that have epilepsy, with children that have autism, with children that have seizure disorder, Asperger's, behavioral disorders, for sure seek out the advice of a holistic naturopath who can guide you through this kind of thing. I myself and my husband, we work with children that have disabilities, and we have used this progesterone with these kids that have these different disorders with excellent, excellent results. So definitely it's an option. I don't want to give those dosing for those children because all these children are different. I just don't want people to go out and get some progesterone and start putting massive amounts on a child that has autism, because there's so much more that has to be worked on with these children that have gut-related issues and stuff like that. So I'm not going to talk about that now. What else? There's a lot that we're leaving out here that I'm leaving out because there's so much to discuss. But I think.
Well, I honestly, you did give a mouthful. There's a lot of information there, and just like me, I'm kind of getting overwhelmed right now.
I know because a lot of this doesn't mean much to you, and that's not. I'm not trying to be mean. That's just.
I don't take it that way.
So there's probably 10 or 15% of people that have already tuned out of this particular podcast, which is fine, because the majority of who requested this podcast, and you know who you are, these are all questions that have been given to me. This is not anything I feel like. I mean, Mark, we've done this twice, and I'm getting requests for this consistently to be more to go over it again and the new information. Oh, before we wrap it up, I really have to touch on this. So I love, there's a doctor that worked with Dr. Marshall, who I absolutely love, who was partners with him for years, named Dr. Medici, who has his own radio show. And he's one of my mentors for years. I worked with him as well. And I managed the clinic in Santa Monica when he was working there. So that's how closely I worked with him and took his classes a lot and listened to his radio show. So he was going to send me a paper written just for me and just for this podcast. But because he hasn't gotten around to it, I'm saving it for the workshop. But one of the things that he said to me already that I have to share with you, and you hear me talk about this on the ED page, is that one of the foundational challenges with people with hormonal imbalance, and this goes for even babies, but this goes for everyone, is liver stagnation. If you have hormonal imbalance, the chances that you have liver stagnation is extremely high. What is liver stagnation? So liver stagnation is a Chinese medicine term for the qi in the liver, the energy in the liver, which is stagnated, but it's also the blood in the liver, which is stagnated. The liver has, the job of the liver, it's got 500 functions, but the second one is hormonal metabolism, is hormonal conjugation, hormonal production. The first one is fat metabolism, but the second one is all hormones. And it's the second one of 500 functions that the liver has. So when your liver is burdened with the toxicity of life, including infections in the body, viral, bacterial, parasitic, heavy metals, burdening the liver and causing hormonal imbalance, it can literally be the reason the body is having hormonal imbalance. One of the ways that you can, women especially, one of the ways women can know, even men, is when you have that pain in your skin, you know, around your ovulation, or just men in general, or even children, when you press into the skin and you have pain. People with fibromyalgia can really relate to this. You know, you can lift, like pinch an inch on your body, and it's painful to do that. Or you press your fingers into your thigh, and it's painful to do that. Men can do this as well, where you feel pain from just pressure. If you look underneath your tongue, and the blue veins under your tongue are dark purple, that is liver stagnation. When you, your hands and feet are always cold and maybe even clammy, this is liver stagnation. This has to be addressed. You cannot do these herbs and these cleanses and these, you know, diets and 2 years of a ketogenic diet and all these herbs and progesterone cream and expect that you're going to heal your body if you have not addressed liver stagnation. It needs to be addressed. It's just right there with the detox, you know, the gut health, the minerals, detoxification. Those are the three things that I talk about all the time. And in detoxification is coffee enemas, liver flushes, you know, juicing dandelion greens, taking herbal tinctures for the liver, supporting liver function and detoxification, lemon water in the morning. These things are crucial, or you will not get over the hurdle of that liver stagnation, and you'll have a serious problem. So that's what's going to be in the webinar. Let's talk a little bit about that before we go. The webinar is going to be broken down into 2 hours. This is what we have so far.
Are we sure about that time frame?
No, this is just giving people a good idea.
Yeah, we haven't decided whether that's going to be 2 hours or not, so just let you know, folks, we're still working out the details.
I don't want it to be really, really long. I want it to be very concise, because you can see just in this hour and a half podcast how I'm all over the map, you know.
Well, in typical podcasts, 60 minutes, 90 minutes the most I've seen, 2 hours, right. I'm not sure. Well, but, you know, again, we'll discuss that if it needs to be.
You mean webinar, you said podcast. So
did I say, yeah, right.
So this is kind of
my webinar. Right.
This is kind of like going to be a workshop and a class, had a baby and made this little webinar. And it's going to be concise. It's going to be printable. It's going to be me talking for a little while, and then we're going to have a Q&A session, and I'll answer your questions to the best of my ability. Mark is going to join us because he's going to produce this for us. And I am going to charge for it. I have no choice, because the effort and time going into this, I can't do everything for free. So we're going to make it as affordable as we can. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is the fact that the Total Gut Makeover is still available on my website at healthyguckgirl.com. And it's only $17.99 still, and it won't be for much longer.
For much longer, it's unfortunately we kept it at that price for a really long time, but it's time to go up.
And the reason
it was a lot of effort, a lot of videos there, and it's definitely worth more than $17.99. And so it's come to the point where we have to raise the price
right.
on it.
I'm also adding a couple things to it, so that's another reason why. Because right now,
it's a great value.
Right.
Yes, it's a great value.
Right now, the liver flush, the coffee enema, estrogen detox, the body ecology introduction, and I'm forgetting one. Those are all for a cost right now. You can add them on. But once I raise the price, it's all going to be included. So it's even going to be a better deal than it is. So just keep an eye out for that. But I brought that up because that's a way to start working on the diet. The Total Gut Makeover is so useful to start detoxifying the liver, digesting your food, working on minerals, everything I just talked about. You can start with the Total Gut Makeover, which is still $17.99, friends. So check it out.
Yeah, and we wonder, is it just too low? Because what you're talking about right here, liver stagnation, and things to address before you deal with the hormones, is addressed in the Total Gut Makeover. The stuff you're talking about is a great place to start. Now, maybe people get overwhelmed because they see so much material there. Mm-hmm. Just start slow. Do as much as you can. If you can't do most of it, do what's easy for you. Take what can work. Make it convenient. You don't have to get it and go, oh my God, I don't know what to do. There's just a lot here. Well, what's convenient for you? What can you do now and then build upon later? Right?
Yeah, that was really well said. I like that because that's how I am and that's how you are. You know, most people are not like, you know, just jump on the train and just do everything and quit everything. It's very overwhelming to do that. And the Total Gut Makeover is not like that. It's in segments. You just can do what you can. So,
and you can't walk into a health food store or a supplement store and walk out for something with this much value for $18. I mean,
no,
that's ridiculous. And maybe because we have it low, I think it is. I
know,
go back and
you've
forth
been
with
telling
Kat on
me.
This, and she just wants to keep it there because, you know, she wants everyone to get it. And I'm saying no, because people don't see the value in it. They see $18 and they go, it's not worth
well,
it.
Well, you know what
If we made it $49.99, people might go, there's more of a value there. And it's worth way more than that because of the time, the videos, and the information. You'd have to read 6 books to get what she put in this.
You know what? I you're right. And I'm starting to turn the tides to think that way. And maybe that's, you know, a good thing. But I was thinking of it in terms of reaching a tipping point, that with all the avenues of traffic we have, people would eventually, there would be a tipping point that was reached, and all of a sudden everyone would start getting it, and then it would be nice and cheap and everyone could have access. And that's just not how it's gone. We've gotten a lot of traffic. It's amazing how much traffic and everything we have on our podcast, and the Facebook group is huge, and I'm getting a lot of personal clients, phone consults. It's great. But for some reason, you're right. The Total Gut Makeover, $17.99, isn't low enough. Maybe we should lower it to $1.99.
So if you – look, folks, I say this because Kat wouldn't say this. You know, we enjoy doing this podcast. We love getting this information out to you. I enjoy doing it because I learn so much. And we want to be able to keep doing this for you. And we would love that you support us. If you really find a value in these podcasts and you find a value in all the information you're getting, it's not a lot of money. It's not. And you're getting so much there that will benefit you for eternity. It'll be there for a lifetime. It's like a book you'll always pick up. You can just go reference something. Hey, how do I go do this? Oh, she mentions liver cleanses. Oh, I can go make a bone broth. How do I go do that? It's there for you. How do I mineralize?
And because it's real time, it's always being updated. So it's live. So I will go in and update things. So it's not like you buy it and that's it. And it's got irrelevant information in a year. I consistently update it. So
isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
For $18, you have a lifetime communication and update of all the information and work and videos you get. That's extraordinary. There's no one else doing that.
I'm starting to feel like an NPR telethon or radiothon.
That's what it sounds like. But we're coming to the point where we need to do that.
You're right. I need to stop being so shy about it. And, you know, I can't work for free. I can't. I can't.
I love it. I mean, we love doing this. We put a lot of time and effort. And we love your support. So we would appreciate if you would go help us out. And that's it. Enough said.
Yeah,
on that.
That's it. And the support is incredible. I'm so thrilled, you know, with the Instagram following at Kitty Martone and the estrogen dominant support group, and everything is just, all the support is, makes me feel so happy. So thank you guys so much. And once again, we might even talk about this some more. You know, I still didn't even get into the, you know, the,
I think we'll do it over the webinar.
And you know, different genetic mutations and how those are affected by hormones. And there's a lot of stuff people want to discuss, and hair loss and weight gain, everything.
They're just going to have to wait until the webinar.
I'm going to pause you
and say we'll just wait for the webinar. That's it. We got a lot of stuff here, and we can't be doing six podcasts, 10 podcasts on progesterone because it's so layered. So let's do it in a webinar.
Okay, and I want to just thank Ona too. Ona's been so amazing. I love you, Ona. All right, guys, friends, thank you. Thanks, Mark, for putting up with me again. And and listeners, this has been fabulous. Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.